What's up, my guy?
What's up, Jason? How you doing?
All right, brother. How you feeling, man? You doing all right?
Oh, I'm doing good. Little late start to the day, but I'm okay.
Hey, that's all good. Hey, before we start this podcast, bro, I appreciate you joining me onto the family and doing things like this. So I told you last night, I get a pro wrestling crate every month. And I get one from AEW and I get one from ProWrestlingTees.com.
Right.
The AEW one's like every 4 months, so I haven't got one of those yet. But I just started getting these crates. And in these crates, it's a great deal. But you get like two t-shirts, you get like different things from different wrestlers, and you get an autograph every month. And today I opened my box and I opened the autograph picture. And you have said before that Chris Statlander is one of your favorite wrestlers. You love her to death.
Absolutely. Well,
the autograph picture I got today was a Chris Statlander. So from me to you, I am going to give you my Chris Statlander autograph pick that I got out of my Pro Wrestling Tees box today. Because I appreciate you giving me a platform. I appreciate you being a friend. And I think you would cherish it more than I would. So that now is your autograph picture of Chris Statlander. So I hope you enjoy it, my friend.
Well, thank you. I most definitely will. Actually, that's awesome.
Yeah, hey man, I appreciate what you do. So
I appreciate you too.
I got a bunch of news if you're ready.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. Let's get into the news because I know there's a lot this week.
I'm gonna save the Vince stuff for last because I know we've been talking and we're ready to go on that. So I'm gonna save the Vince stuff for last. But the Ric Flair last match, they sold out. Like I said on this pod, I think about a month ago, they sold out the fairgrounds, which was about 3,000 tickets. Well, they're now moving it to I don't want to say the wrong venue, but it's like a 7,500 seat venue. And they're going to release tickets on sale this Friday. So I'm going to try to get tickets because I'm going to be there for SummerSlam weekend. The opponent, I will probably know more on Thursday, which will be after we record. But I will know more and I will tell people when we record again because hopefully we record this weekend to talk about GCW. But I will know more.
That's what I was planning on doing is this week.
I'll know more Thursday, so I'll say that.
Okay.
Any
clues or hints of...
Not yet, because what I was told...
A solo opponent, or...
No, I think it's going to be a tag or a three-way. What I keep hearing is Ric Flair and somebody versus the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and them.
Oh, wow.
First, they've talked about Hogan, they've talked about FTR, they've talked... Matt Cardona wanted to have his last match with... Because Matt Cardona was the NWA World title, then he tore his bicep. So now Trevor Murdoch is now the NWA World title. So that's not going to happen. I'm not going to speculate yet because I haven't heard a whole lot. All I've heard is that something will be announced before tickets go on sale Friday. So I'm hoping Thursday... Maybe late Wednesday night, I'll get some confirmation on who the opponent will be.
And it's 7,500?
Yeah, dude.
They
sold out so quick, and then people kept saying, hey, I want to see this. I want to see this. So,
yeah.
Brad Thompson and them guys do a great job with StarCast. You can actually order the match on Fight right now for like $35.
That's right. I saw that.
Yeah, you could also order that and the roast for like $70 or something like that. You could order that and like all the interviews they do and stuff like that. But I don't want to say who I think yet because I don't like putting out fake or false information. So I'm going to wait till I get some concrete evidence. I'm still working on that. So as soon as I know, I'll let you know.
If it was Rock and Roll Express, I'm there. I mean, that would just be...
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to be there for SummerSlam weekend. And here's the thing. You're going to have SummerSlam there. GCW is going to have the Moxley and Christian match, which we'll talk about when we do the GCW review. And then you're going to also have StarCast there that same weekend. So it's going to be a huge weekend in Nashville. I'm going down that Friday. So I don't know what yet my plan is. Hopefully I might try to buy tickets Friday and talk the girlfriend into going with me, but we'll see what happens. I would definitely love to be there to see his last match, represent Unscripted Violence. We'll see what happens. I'm going to try to buy tickets Friday, though.
That would be cool. Nashville's a great city. I used to live there.
Oh, really? See, we've never been. We've never been, and we were going to go about like 3 months ago, and hotels were just crazy. And then when SummerSlam announced they were going to be there, I looked at her and I was like, hey, let's go to SummerSlam. And then we looked up, we got a hotel pretty cheap, and then we got the tickets, and we're like, all right, so we're going to be there for SummerSlam. We're going to talk about that a little later, I think, when we get into the Vince stuff. But I'm going to get into some other news. Thunder Rosa. She's not having a good time in AEW. And
I've heard she's just not happy.
Well, and I think we're going to talk about it in this Dynamite, because I think in this Dynamite that we're going to review, she fights Maria Shafir, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the last one.
Yeah, I'll save that news for that. Hangman Adam Page has actually got a lot of my respect this week. The IWC has been horrible this week with the whole Vince stuff. And now a bunch of them are body shaming Adam Cole, telling him he needs to get more muscle and things like that.
Well, I've seen a lot of that. And it's just, come on. I don't get what these couch potato, you know, fan types. I don't know. I don't get what their point is. He's a great wrestler. He carries himself beautifully in the ring. I've never seen it affect him. So his body style now is not the type that's supposed to be pro wrestling. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
It's the same people that were worshiping him when he's in NXT, and then he goes to AEW, and they photoshopped this picture of him when he does a skit with BTE, Being the Elite. It's a YouTube show with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega.
Right.
And Adam Cole was just joking around, and he does this like weird pose, and people started snapping pictures, and it's just... And then what didn't help is Booker T came out and said he needs more muscle and this and that. And then I will give props to Booker T. He came back out on his podcast and he said, I love Adam Cole. We're friends. I'm friends with him and Britt Baker. Well, all I meant was if he got a little bit more muscle, maybe he wouldn't get injured. So he tried to walk back the comments. But Hangman Adam Page, bless his heart, in an interview came out and just destroyed everybody talking about Adam Cole. And he also said something which I thought was hilarious. He said, whenever I get older, I hope I don't do a podcast where I dog the new generation that's trying to just make money in this business and be an old, like, grouchy, just get off my lawn type of person. I think he's talking about Cornette and some of these other people.
Cornette's definitely one of them. Right.
Hey, bro. Sorry about that.
We're back. That's good. No, that's fine.
But like I said, he came out and said he hopes he's not an old sour grape and things like that. And I thought it was pretty cool. Some big things from AEW. They announced some ticket sales. They're going to go back to Minnesota where they had Full Gear last year. And they named the episode of this Dynamite Quake at the Lake. So I don't know if it's kind of like a Bash at the Beach type of deal or what. But that should be a big Dynamite. They also announced they're going to go to Canada. And Canada, they're like number one in Canada on like ratings and things like that. So they did announce they're going to go to Canada. They haven't announced dates or anything like that yet, but they will be going to Canada. Jericho was in the news this week talking about MJF. He said MJF is too young, 25, 26 years old. He's not as good as he thinks he is, and that maybe 18 months at home will do him some good. And if he goes to the WWE, he will be watered down. He won't know how good he has it. Now, I disagree with Jericho on these comments because MJF is as good as he thinks he is. Maybe he is too young. Maybe he should honor his contract. Maybe he shouldn't. We're not in his shoes. I still think it's a work. I still think we'll see MJF here in a couple months. but it was kind of interesting. Jericho's comments talking about it
sounds like a work, but it, at the same time, I can see with Jericho's experience and knowledge of the business, I don't know. Maybe he could be serious, saying, hey, you know, you might think you're the greatest heel of all time, but people have come and gone in his day, and him being one of them.
Right.
You know, it might be a shot at him.
It's so interesting because we don't know, and that's the thing. Like, people like me try to get information about. I've heard it's a work. I've heard it's a shoot. I heard he's going into acting. I heard he's doing this. I heard he's doing that. So until I get some concrete evidence, I'm going to leave it at that. Bryan Danielson got hurt during the Anarchy match at the pay-per-view. I don't know what the injury is, but what I was told was there's a match lined up at Forbidden Door with him in a Zack Sabre Jr., which will be amazing, a clinical wrestling match. What I was told was, he wasn't cleared last week, but if we see him on Dynamite this week, he will be at the pay-per-view. Right after I got that information, Tony Khan tweeted, Bryan Danielson will be on Dynamite talking. So, safe to say, we will see Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. at the pay-per-view. So, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week on the news. Andrade was supposed to wrestle Will Ospreay. Now, we're getting Will
Ospreay.
We're getting Ospreay and Orange Cassidy, and we'll talk about that when we do the pay-per-view. The reason why we're not getting Penta and Phoenix and Andrade is the relationship between AAA and CMILL, and that's blocking them from wrestling on New Japan because of their contracts. So, I hate to give a spoiler for this week's Dynamite, but Malakai Black, Spike, and Penta, if there's a betting line in your area, bet every money you have on Malakai Black because he's going to win this week because Penta can't be at the pay-per-view.
Dang. That is kind of a letdown.
Yeah, it's kind of a letdown, and I hope Tony Khan, and I'm going to talk about this later when I talk about WWE and what's going on, because I'm a little pissed off at what some AEW fans are saying about the whole Forbidden Door pay-per-view. But we're going to get Miro, Tashii from New Japan, Malakai Black. That's going to be a hell of a match, but it's kind of sad we're not going to see Phoenix and all the Andrade. Me and you had a good argument about Andrade on the phone the other day.
Right.
But we're not going to see these guys, and it kind of sucks. It's kind of limited what Tony can do with this pay-per-view, but he's doing the best he can. Let me see. Shavira. That's really all the notes I have until we talk about the Vince thing, which I know we're going to talk about. I'm going to let you spill your thoughts on the Vince thing first, and then I'll go into some big news about the whole Vince thing, and then I'm going to go to my thoughts, but I'm going to let you go first.
Well, my thoughts on Vince is I'm not surprised in the least that this, I'm surprised that it has come out so in the game.
What are you surprised about?
I'm just surprised that it's been made public. Not really so soon, but that it's been made public in the way it has been, and that everybody else is acting so shocked. Like, oh, Vince McMahon can't do this. You know, it's Vince McMahon. Of course, it's Vince McMahon. The guy is an obvious lech. You look at the way he's portrayed females in the past, and the way that he's been promoting females in the past, always been about the tits and ass and that whole angle. It doesn't surprise me that this has happened.
We're gonna disagree on that part of it, on the creative part, but Well, I'll go into the news first, and I'll go into my piece. So here's what happened. Nope. The Wall Street Journal article came out, and here's one thing I want to say first. I don't care what happens in somebody's bedroom. I don't care if you're gay, straight, trans.
Of course.
The thing that got me worked up is that it came out that he passed her on like a toy to Johnny Laurinaitis. Now, people
yes,
don't
yeah.
Johnny Laurinaitis, well, I will now say was head of talent relations. He's married to the Bella Twins' mom. Now, out of the fallout from this, he has been placed on administrative leave, and God forbid this, I don't know if this is any better, but Bruce Pritchard has been in, have been placed in charge of talent relations. Now,
oh, geez.
Yeah, well, that
is a horrible decision.
Yeah, that's,
I'm sorry.
He's in charge of creative. He's in charge now of talent relations. It just sucks. Now, here's the thing that's what could get Vince in trouble. Vince McMahon, because of the way the stocks are placed or whatever, owns 80% of all voting rights. So, when they go to vote somebody into the board, their votes really don't matter. Vince McMahon has 80% say in what's going to happen.
Right.
Now, here's what's going to get Vince in trouble, and here's what's the problem of the lawsuit. Now, there are three, count them, 1, 2, 3 legal firms out there trying to do class action lawsuits against WWE. And here's the problem. The problem is not the $3 million that he gave the woman in the NDA. The problem is that he gave her a raise from $100,000 to $200,000, and that's using company money. Now, Brandon Thurston, who does WrestleNomics, which does a great podcast, which I listen to every week, and does some great stuff, was doing some things. The board could vote him out. But here's the thing. Vince is still in charge of creative. So
true, yeah. That just takes him away of being CEO. That doesn't mean that creative doesn't fall under his wheelhouse.
What's being said backstage is, like, even if he's not CEO, you think Stephanie's going to tell him no if he says something?
No. No. I absolutely do not.
Now,
I heard that, I was like, okay, the fix is in.
Well, what I'm hearing is this is the biggest threat to his power in WWE. Now, what Vince could do is say, you know what? I don't want this to be a public company anymore. I'm going to make this private. I'm going to buy out everybody on their shares, and I'm going to make this private. So this is a big deal, because this is like I said before, I don't care what Vince, him and Linda have been separated for a long time. It's one of the worst kept secrets in all of professional wrestling. What Vince does in his old time, I don't care. I don't care who he sleeps with. Brad Shepherd, fuck this guy. He got fired from his 5th podcast because he released the name of the woman who was in the NDA. And I know the woman's name. I'm not going to release it.
Wow, don't.
I've seen her Facebook. I've seen her Instagram. People keep saying this is consensual. But here's my deal. Imagine being a young lady, being a paralegal, and Vince McMahon hitting on you. What are you going to do? Because she had a lot of money problems, and that's been well documented, which really sucks, because who cares what's going on in her life? If your boss comes up to you and starts hitting on you and says, hey, I'm going to give you this much money, and you need this money, is it really consensual? Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a fine line to be walking. I would say that she was bought off. First glance, she's bought off.
The thing that pisses me off is saying they passed her around like a toy. Like,
yeah, that's disgusting in itself.
Say in the same sentence, it was consensual, but then passed around like a toy. And then Vince is going to come on SmackDown and come out acting like a fucking face, slapping hands of people, coming out. It was a big F you to everybody. And then he came back out again on Raw, and oh my God, it just kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, he did. He not only did SmackDown, but then he did the Raw appearance, which made me think this guy's showing his ass. He's just showing he can't be touched by anybody.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, you can't touch me. And I hope he gets burned to the fucking ground.
I do too. And it's not only because of the way that WWE's been getting run, but I just don't like to see the bad guys win.
Right, but
personally,
what's gonna happen though? Like, let's say he gets ousted as CEO. Let's say he gets ousted in creative. Is anything really gonna change? Because you're gonna have Pritchard and Khan and all these other people trying to get. It's just a clusterfuck. And here's the thing that's really sad to me, is that when Vince came out, SmackDown did the best ratings they've done in forever. They did like 2.3 million people. And Raw did over 2-point-something million people just because Vince came out. And
right.
SmackDown was good, but Raw was just horrible. And people want to come out. And that's why I tell you, when we were talking the other night, nothing's ever going to change. Like, I feel bad for the wrestling community because there's people like you and me that love pro wrestling. And we talk about it every week on AEW. The thing that really, really sucks is, like, the thing that killed this business was 20 years ago, whatever it was, whenever he bought WCW, and then for years upon years, and until finally Tony Khan came around, they were the only show in business, and, like, people left.
Yeah.
They went from, like, 6 million viewers to now 2 million viewers, and here's the problem. They're getting like $4 billion for their TV deals, and they're probably going to get more money when their TV contracts come up. So how can you tell Vince McMahon he doesn't know what he's doing when they're about to get $7 billion a year to show Raw, SmackDown, and Peacock?
Not to mention the blood money that he gets from the Middle East.
Right.
That's not even mentioning that. How many more shows do we have in the Middle East that are coming up that are worth billions?
And here's the thing also. Like, I blame also the WWE universe. And I was partly one of them because we argued about this the other night. But when Brock Lesnar came out to face Roman Reigns, that video on YouTube got 4.5 million views already. So why would they do something different when they're getting that much traffic?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're absolutely right. Why change the status quo when the status quo is making them all the money in the world?
Yeah, it's a bad deal. I feel bad, and it's never going to change until people are like, I'm tired of seeing this. But people keep saying they want change, and AEW keeps giving them that change, and yet people aren't watching, and I'm just so confused about the whole thing.
To me, it comes between being a casual and a pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And it's a very fine line that we're walking with that, too.
And we're going to talk about that when we get into the Dynamite, but it's just Tony Khan keeps giving you the alternative, and the ratings this week were horrible, and I hate ratings talk. I talked about that the other night with you.
Right.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't understand any of it either way. But you're absolutely right. Something's gotta come to a head with both companies.
The thing is weird, like, I'll wear my AEW merchandise out in public and people will be like, oh, I've heard about them, but I don't watch. Well, watch. And like, I went to my kid's football camp this weekend and I was wearing a Cody Rhodes American Nightmare shirt. And he was like, oh man, I so love that he's in WWE, but I can't watch AEW. And I'm like, why?
I don't know why.
But
he's still a great wrestler either way.
Yeah. But AEW, once I get more news on that, I'll let you know. But I'll get more into the Maria Shiver stuff when we get into her match. But there's some big news with Thunder Rosa, and we'll get into that when we get there.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. What are you? One of the dogs is getting out here and shouldn't be. Well, it's okay.
All right. Well, let's get into Dynamite, my friend.
Yes. Well, we started off with right up out of the get-go was the hair versus hair match.
Yes.
Which was the Wizard Quest Chris Jericho. Along with JAS, which was Jake Hager, Angelo Parker, Matt Menard, versus Ortiz, and he was only backed by Eddie Kingston.
Well, it kind of goes into that story I told you about Santana, and I'm still working on that, so I might have more next week, but kind of leads into what I was telling you. I think Santana's gone.
It appears that way because you would think it would be Santana and Ortiz together, and it's not, so it's obvious.
Yeah, why 4-on-1? I don't get it.
I don't know. But there's in this match, there was, it was everything I thought this match would come to be. I liked Chris Jericho. I liked Ortiz in it. I thought that they came out doing great back and forth with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Fuego del Sol coming in and hitting Ortiz with the bat, and that allowed Chris to get the win. And then they're walking up the ramp, and he takes the mask off, and I was fooled. I really was. It was Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, I was.
It surprised me. It was a good change.
Well, here's the thing. Did you hear the pop when Jericho was about to get pinned on that three? People wanted him to lose his hair. Now,
yeah.
I was given a heads up beforehand that Jericho was not going to lose, so I was kind of like, ugh. But it was a great match, and what I loved afterwards was how Ortiz was shaving his head, and Kingston was like, look at this man. He's taking it like a man. And he kept shaving his head, and he had blood everywhere. He shaved his head because blood and guts is going to be fucked. It's going to be bloody. And when you have a bald head, it's a lot easier to get bloody than instead of when you have a bunch of dreads. So.
Oh, yeah. I loved it when he just started shaving his head. Yeah. Like, he didn't even give a fuck. He was just, like, aggressive about it. Like you said, there was blood running out down his head, and he just kept saying blood and guts and his way of doing that.
All that was Ortiz is going to bleed a lot during Blood and Guts. That's what that's
about. And I hope so. I mean, I hope it's better than the last Blood and Guts we got. The last Blood and Guts was all great except for the end.
Yeah.
The finish of it, I did not care for us as an audience being insulted enough to think that that piece of cardboard with the diamond steel print on it.
I disagree because it kind of saved, it kind of, I mean, you don't want these guys to get hurt, and
you don't, I would
did a lot better, but you know, sometimes you gotta forget about belief and be like, oh, he just fell from the top of the cage. Ortiz bleeding, great. I think we're going to see, like I said, Danielson's supposed to come on Dynamite this week and talk about Forbidden Door and Blood and Guts. I think he's been cleared, so that's going to be cool. I like how they put, I don't know if you pay attention, but when they come out for the match, they put their name up there and their record and all that, but it put the jerk was 2-0 in a hair versus hair match, what I thought was pretty cool. Because they put Kevin Nash's name on there because Jericho won a hair versus Kevin Nash. So I thought that was pretty cool. The whole match.
That's right. That's right. I didn't read it. I forgot about that.
AEW does little things like that. This little Easter eggs that just makes it so much better. And yeah, that's pretty freaking cool to me.
That was, but I liked the match. I thought it was great. Both of them did great, but the next match that we had was a 20-on-1 class action handicapped elimination match, which was all the 20 plaintiffs versus Wardlow. Smart Mark Sterling being at ringside. The plaintiffs were all, they started surrounding the ring, and then I don't know what it was. Was it that he did a shoulder tackle or something off of the ropes and eliminated four of them at once, and then they announced that they were eliminated?
Here's the thing.
I didn't get a lot of continuity in this match.
I loved the people's court thing that they did. I thought that was funny.
I liked that. Yeah, I liked the people's court deal. Sorry, I lost you.
Sorry, my stupid phone.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's power of editing.
I don't like how he powerbombed people, and then like half the people had their shoulders down, half of them didn't, but the referee still counted.
I didn't get what the pin was. Shouldn't the pin have been individual wrestlers versus like a pile of wrestlers? I mean, none of, like you said, their shoulders weren't down.
It was fun, but it didn't make sense.
The rules weren't laid out for us.
And that's where I think we lose people, and that's why I think the ratings are so bad. It's like, people want to watch this, but also, what are we watching? You know what I mean? Like, what is... I don't know. They need to just have him beat Scorpio Sky as soon as possible. And let's just get this over with, because what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, it led to nowhere, but anyway, it led to all of the plaintiffs being taken out. And then Matt Hughes and Tyrone Woodley, I'm not familiar with their careers.
I am.
But they get in the ring, and they get told to take out Wardlow. One of them, is he injured, or is he not physically fit?
Here's the thing. I'm from St. Louis. Tyron Woodley and Matt Hughes are both from St. Louis. If you don't know Matt Hughes' story, it's a hell of a story. But like a year or two ago, he was hit by a train trying to commit suicide.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and he lived. Now, putting him in that match, I don't get why. I don't know if it was to give Matt Hughes like one last send off. Because
he just didn't look like a threat to me.
He's one of the greatest UFC fighters ever.
Right.
He grew up like about 20 miles where I grew up from. So like, I love Matt Hughes, but like, yeah, when he walked into the ring and he's looking all weird, I was kind of like, why are they doing this? And Tyron Woodley just lost a boxing match to one of the Paul brothers not too long ago. So that was a little weird. But they're both from St. Louis, so I guess that's why they did it. But that's another thing that like people are watching it and they're like, why are these people here? Why? Because we're never going to see them. We're never going to see them again.
Had that hush over the crowd, like,
yeah, okay, yeah,
what are we expecting? We don't know who this guy is. We don't know why they're a threat. They didn't really seem like a threat.
No, neither of them did. And who seems like a threat to Wardlow? Neither of these guys. Now, could they have a good fight? Probably. Not Matt Hughes. I mean, Tyrone Woodley, maybe. But like I said, he just got knocked out by one of the Paul brothers. And then, like I said, Hughes just got ran over by a train. And now you're going to have him in there with Wardlow. It just, I get what they were doing. It just, to the casual fan, it doesn't make sense.
Well, the story that they were telling was that you two working under this guy in the skybox.
Yeah, but
he's barking orders to you. Do you really want to, you know, have him barking orders at you, or do you want me to?
But they didn't even try. That's the thing. It was like, hey, get him, and then Wardlow was like, hey.
Yeah.
Wardlow needs a mouthpiece, and I don't know.
He's not a good talker. He's not a.
Talked about last week on this program, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but like, since Wardlow in the MJF match, it's like Wardlow's going downhill. They need to hurry up, put the belt on him, and get him back to where he was at.
Yeah, I really think they're in danger of losing that.
Yeah,
that whole show that we had. It seems like we're at the very end of what could be a great thing, and please let's not waste any more time. Like you're saying, let's throw the strap on him, get him to where he needs to be.
Let's go. You got Batista 2.0. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd say he's better than Batista.
That's what I'm saying. He's 2.0.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's run with him.
Let's do it. That was my whole thing onto that, but then he Sterling basically he got into the ring and got a power bombed by Wardlow. Looked great.
Yeah.
I think as far as that was. And then the next match we had was Dax Harwood versus Will Ospreay and the United Empire. Which I am not familiar with, so you're gonna have to fill us in on that.
I will. But what a great match.
It was a great match.
Oh my god. Dax Harwood is top five in the world right now. And what a match. I know we're gonna cover GCW. The match with him and Ospreay and Nick Wayne is amazing. I'm gonna give you that spoiler ahead of time. It's more like the guys with Ospreay are kind of his lackeys, but that match, oh my god, 5 stars. It was given 4.75 by Dave Meltzer. That match was just this was the highlight of the night for me.
I thought it was the best match of the night.
It was so good. It
finally... Ospreay just impressed me in so many different ways. But it wouldn't have been without the help of Dax.
Here's the thing. A lot of people talk shit about Will Ospreay, and there's a video out there. I don't know. It was like 2 or 3 years ago of him and Ricochet. And they were just doing a bunch of spots. And kind of Will Ospreay has kind of went away from that. And Will Ospreay is one of the top wrestlers in the world. And who they are putting him up against, which I know we're going to talk about here in a minute, really pisses me off. Even though I already bought the pay-per-view. But Dax just keeps putting out bangers after bangers after bangers. And he goes to show. It's kind of like Seth Rollins on Raw. You don't have to win every match to be over. Dax Harwood is a top 5 singles wrestler in the world.
He impresses me to no end. And it makes me think that, does there really need to be an FTR, or does Dax need to start breaking away?
Well, it's kind of...
I mean, he's got all the makings for a great, great singles competitor.
It kind of reminds you of old school wrestling, where, like, who's the best in the tag team? Is it Shawn Michaels? Is it Marty Jannetty? Is it this person? Is it this person? I think Dax is going to eventually break off from Cash Wheeler, and there's nothing against Cash Wheeler, but Dax Harwood is just on another level right now, and it's so amazing to see.
It is, and in the end of this, so Ospreay hit a Liger bomb, which I thought was going to be the end, but it wasn't. And he hit what's called the hidden blade, which is this killer forearm shot to the back of the head. It looked devastating. I'm sorry. That looked mean as shit.
Yeah.
But then he won the match on that. Then we had the United Empire, and sorry if I didn't get all the guys' names, but United Empire is in the ring with Ospreay, and then Cash Wheeler's with Roppongi Vice. Then at the very end of it comes out Orange Cassidy, which I know you're not a fan of, but I was marking out for this.
Really? Why? Why?
Because it's Orange Cassidy.
I mean,
I love Orange Cassidy. I don't see a reason not to. Okay, he's a great baby face.
Here's my question to you. When do you really think Orange Cassidy could beat CM Punk?
Wow.
Come on, be honest. Do you think Orange Cassidy could beat CM Punk?
I think it'd be a great match. I'm trying to think if he would beat him or not.
He won't. Would he beat?
I think he absolutely stands a chance.
Oh my God, no! Would he beat Brian Danielson? Would he beat Kenny Omega?
No. Brian Danielson, no.
No, and you're gonna put him in a match for the New Japan World Title. Like, I get that Orange Cassidy is an AEW original and people love him, but fuck me. Like, I don't... It might be a good match, but... What the...
Orange can go in the ring, and he's proven it.
Really? Is he gonna kick him in the legs a couple times, and he's gonna hide his hands in the pockets, and is he gonna...
Well, because they've been steering away from that. That has been part of his gimmick in the past. However, I will say there are matches to where he just goes, and he
I'm
does.
I'm a little disappointed in the fact that you said he could maybe beat CM Punk, because there's no way. No.
I think he can.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No. Oh my God. Okay, maybe this match is for somebody like you. It's just, I want to see Will Ospreay against the best, and I don't think Orange Cassidy is the best. I like the match with Dax. I was not happy with who Will Ospreay is facing at Forbidden Door, but Orange Cassidy is going to do the job because they're.
I think they can make it work. I definitely think they can make it work.
It might be a good match, but when you have Will Ospreay, you're going to put it with Orange. No, I don't get it, but okay, whatever. I'm done. I don't even know.
It was a nice surprise to me.
I'm not happy with it, but I'll watch it. I already bought the pay-per-view a month ago, so I'm going to watch the match. But I hope Orange Cassidy shows me something maybe I'm missing.
I don't see how he hasn't already.
Really? I just...
Yeah, really don't. Because people get on him about the faux kicks and the sunglasses and all that, but he's so much more than that.
Yeah, but when he comes out there, he acts like he doesn't give a shit. And that's the
problem. Of course. That's his main selling point, is he doesn't give a shit. And then he...
Okay, here's my question to you. If he doesn't give a shit, why should I?
I don't know, because he doesn't. I'm entertained by the guy.
Okay, I mean, all right, but I don't get it. I just think you could put Will Ospreay in a better match, but all right.
Who would you put Will Ospreay against?
I would put him against Danielson, but I know Danielson and Zach Ospreay are going to fight, which is going to be an amazing match. If you've never seen Zach, he's going to be on Dynamite this week, Zach Ospreay. Punk's injured. Moxley's facing... I don't know who I'd put him with, but I don't think I would put him against Orange Cassidy. I don't know.
It'll be one of those arguments we'll continue to have, because I think Orange Cassidy has it.
But
let's say
Orange Cassidy beats CM Punk. He's the world champion. He comes out not giving a shit, kicking around. That's who you want to get behind?
It is. I mean, like, if you saw him when he was internet wrestling champion, he always, it's just like he stayed within his gimmick the whole time. He carried the title in a backpack that he carried to the ring, and he just didn't really give a fuck. And but it was in the last moments that he did, and he overcomes every obstacle in his path. I don't know.
When I see my world champion come out, I want them to be the man. And if you're going to tell me Orange Cassidy is the man, we got a major issue. And I don't see it. I just don't get it.
I don't think he's the man yet. I'm not going to say that.
But what's going to make him the man? What, him being serious?
I don't know what's going to break through that hole.
I don't buy it. Will Ospreay's going to kick his ass. Will Ospreay's going to win the match. I don't get it, but all right, let's go on. Next.
So we had a video package of Moxley and Tanahashi. Decent video package. Mox also cuts a promo for how 3 years he's been chasing Tanahashi. Says how in Japan he's called the ace, but at Forbidden Door, Mox will be called the ace. And that was pretty much the
entire. Hated it.
I didn't like it either. I wasn't convinced.
Because, I mean, you're probably going to get to it in a minute, but Jericho comes out, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why do we need Jericho again?
And why? I don't know why we had him twice in the same show.
I don't know
why Lance Archer and Desperado. I don't know who Desperado is, but I don't know why they had to come out.
Well, they have a match on Dynamite this week. Okay, whatever. But just, this hurt my head. It's kind of the WWE booking of, can they coexist? We're going to make them a tag team.
Too much Jericho.
I fucking hate it. I hate it. Put it in the trash can. I hate it. I don't want to see the two people fighting for the world title coexist. I don't give a fuck. I want to see them two fight to see who is going to be the interim champion, which I think is going to be Tanahashi, fight CM Punk when Punk's ready to go. I don't want to see them tag team. I don't want to see it.
I think it will be that because of just that is that CM Punk wants to fight Tanahashi so bad.
If I want to see this shit, I'll watch WWE. I don't want to see the coexist. They're a tag team and they're going to fight for the title. I don't want to see it. It's bad.
It's going to be Eddie Kingston and Shota Umino and Wheeler Yuta versus Minoru Suzuki, Sammy Guevara, and Jericho.
But why? Why?
It reads like a garble, like somebody just spewed out names on a piece of paper and said, this is who it's going to be to me.
No, I totally agree. Why?
It didn't make any sense. Like,
why? What? Why is Jericho came out and said, I beat you, Tanahashi. Okay, cool. So what? Moxie's been wanting to fight. Oh my God, they're going to be a tag team tomorrow, and I don't, why? And what else is going to turn the other one? And it's, I don't know. Just bad.
Yeah, it didn't excite me at all.
No, not at all.
Then we had a taped promo on Darby Allin versus Bobby Fish at Rampage. I honestly don't care about that one.
Nope.
Not at all. It's still a tag team competitor against a singles competitor, and that's all I'm thinking in my mind.
What have they done with Darby Allin since he fought CM Punk? And it's like, why? I get the Bobby Fish. I get they took Sting out, and they did the whole thing on Rampage, and who cares? Because nobody watches Rampage. But yeah, just bad. I don't get it. It seems like they're fucking up Darby Allin, and it's pissing me off.
They are fucking up Darby Allin. He should be in top tier matches. He should be the one against Ospreay, maybe.
There you go. I would be happy with that.
You know, that might be the realness that you want in that. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not excited about either of these matches. Then we had Tony Schiavone backstage with Tony Storm doing a promo.
Yes.
Good promo.
Give me Tony Storm anytime I can get her.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that entire just saga between those two. Because I'm hoping it'll go more than one or two matches.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm hoping it'll be a feud.
Well, they announced for tomorrow Tony Storm versus Maria Shavir. I think it's going to give Tony Storm a win. I really hope Tony Storm takes the belt at Forbidden Door.
That would be nice, actually. But then the next match that we had was Ethan Page with Dan Lambert versus the Redeemer, Miro. This the outcome of this match did not surprise me at all. It was the All Atlantic qualifier.
News on that: the reason they're having that title is Discovery told AEW they want another title, so that's why Tony came up with the All Atlantic. He's waiting on the trios for Kenny Omega to come back. We're still a long way from Kenny Omega coming back. I don't want to break anybody's feelings on that, but Kenny had so many injuries. It's amazing the matches he did while he was hurt. He needed a hernia surgery, eye surgery, was going through vertigo, was going through a shoulder surgery. What Kenny Omega was able to do while he was champion is nothing short of amazing, but this championship was made because Discovery told Tony Khan they wanted another one.
Well, it's coming, and
Miro's gonna win. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we got Miro, no problem. All over. I mean, I didn't see Ethan Page as even a threat in this match. That's the problem with me. Okay. So Miro's gonna win.
Yeah, Ethan Page is gonna be a star. They need to break him from Dan. They need to break him from Scorpio Sky. Ethan Page.
Yeah, they.
Yeah.
He needs to be on his own. That's a definite positive thing in his life.
Yeah.
But we had the win over that. Then we have backstage. We got Dante Martin saying he's facing John Moxley on this week's Rampage. Once again, I'm not that excited about it.
Nope, not at all.
And Rampage just continues to look more and more dismal.
The ratings for this week's Rampage were like 340,000 with like a 0.10 in the demo. It was horrible. Why are you putting Moxley versus Dante Martin? Why?
That's a non-match. It's a jobber match. It's like, okay.
We went from having Rampages where Kenny Omega fought Christian Cage for the world title, CM Punk making his debut, to this. And it's just... My phone go to dark and kills it for some reason.
It's all right.
Jesus Christ, it's pissing me off. But this match just didn't make sense. Nothing on a Rampage makes sense. I don't know what we're doing.
I barely watched.
And here's the thing. You're putting John Moxley on Rampage against Dante Martin. And then you're putting John Moxley in the heavyweight title match against Tanahashi. But nobody's watching him against Dante Martin. What are you doing? So you're going to tell me you're going to put the belt on somebody that gets a 3,000 rating on Rampage?
Exactly. It's It doesn't make much sense.
And I told you this a while back. I said I wanted some change in AEW. And they're not... I don't know if Tony's just trying... He said the other day, he came out on an interview and he said there's a lot of interest in the library and this and that. Is Tony going to sell?
Well, all Rampage looks to me is it looks like a Dark Elevation with a couple of bells and whistles on it.
And that's the thing. They keep like hyping on Twitter. Like today, like I said, Blake Christian's fighting Jay Lethal. So if Jay Lethal beats Blake Christian, then you're going to try to sell me on a GCW pay-per-view where Moxley fights Christian?
We've already had Blake Christian be a jobber. I forget to who it was, but he was a jobber already about three times.
But you're trying to tell me he's a legit wrestling. You're trying to tell me he's a legit contender to beat Moxley for the GCW title? We're gonna talk about that when we talk about GCW, but I want to reset. I really want to reset, and this was the problem when I thought the CM Punk went out and MJF went out and Danielson went out. What is Tony going to do? And he's doing some bad stuff, and the ratings are showing it.
I don't know what direction he's wanting to go in.
And this wasn't a bad show. Like,
it seems like just nonsensical booking. Sorry, not no nonsense. But nonsensical booking in my eyes.
It's like we're throwing shit at a wall and we hope it sticks.
Yeah. It's like, let's take two random opponents and throw them against each other with the obvious being the winner. I don't know.
We talk about how bad WWE's booking is, but it's kind of like Rampage is kind of like Main Event. Would you put Roman Reigns on Main Event? No.
No shit.
But they're going to put Jon Moxley on Rampage? Like, I don't... Ugh. I don't... The war is ready to be taken by AEW, and we keep doing dumb shit.
I don't understand the logic behind it.
I'm with you, brother.
Then we had Tony Storm versus Dr. Britt Baker. She, of course, has Rebel and Jamie Hayter with her. Tony Storm looked like a brute in this.
Tony Storm is amazing. What a match. This was a great match. Britt Baker sells so well. And Tony Storm is it. And I really hope they put the belt on her this weekend against Thunder Rosa, because Toni Storm is just, she has it. She has star power. She is the next, she needs to be the champ.
I could see her as champ.
Oh yeah. And has to be.
She has the charisma. She's got the ring skill to do so. But yeah, I could see her as champ easy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It was a great match, and it ended up of course with Toni Storm winning with that pile driver of hers.
So amazing. Second best match on the card, behind Dax and Will Ospreay. She looks amazing. Maybe this will kind of debunk the whole thing, because when a WWE women's star comes there, they send her to Dark and Elevation. Toni Storm's been on Rampage and Raw a lot. I mean, Rampage and Dynamite a lot. She's your next champ. I'm sorry. I don't know where else you go from here.
I don't see a problem with that. Then we had backstage, we had Tony Schiavone. He's with Stokely Hathaway. Stokely said the TBS champion, who's Jade Cargill, would be issuing an open challenge at Rampage this Friday.
Oh, Jesus.
And we get Willow Nightingale walking out. Why in the fuck should we even be watching Rampage at this point?
And that's the thing. Jade is a star. She needs to be on Dynamite, not Rampage.
Willow Nightingale, great. She's great.
Yeah, what are we doing? That's
wrong, but she does not have the star power to make this big announcement and make us think that it's going to be this amazing match.
Yeah, don't care. Yeah, don't care.
Then after that, we had Hangman Adam Page. And out. And he's talking about Forbidden Door being around the corner. And last week, he said he wanted a match with Okada. And he just didn't want a match with the Okada. He wanted to challenge him for his IWGP World Championship. He said he didn't take into account that Forbidden Door, that by Forbidden Door, that Okada might not be champion. And this weekend, he lost his championship. But settlement has not changed, and the challenge still stands. And then Adam Cole comes out to interrupt Page, and he calls him a stupid cowboy. He says Forbidden Door is not about AEW or New Japan. It's about the Undisputed Elite, and it's about the Bullet Club. And the best way to showcase that is Adam Cole against Jay White. And speaking of Okada, he's not even going to be there.
Nope.
And there will be somebody who's wants to say hello. Out comes Jay White from behind Adam Page, hits him with the Blade Runner, which I call Sister Abigail.
Yeah, pretty much same thing.
Same thing. But this is his finisher as, to me, a new guy coming to New Japan. And then White just says, I'm the catalyst. What makes you think you call the shots? It's not going to be against you. But Adam Cole, it's not going to be against you either. And he holds the power, basically, is what he's saying. And it means that it's the Switchblade era.
Yeah.
So we don't know who his opponent's going to be for Forbidden Door.
It's going to be Adam Cole, Hangman Page, and Jay White, the three-way. Guaranteed.
Not a good call.
I don't mind it. Jay White's going to win. But then you're going to have Adam Cole's probably going to take the pinfall. I don't think Hangman Page is going to take the pinfall. Then we're going to kind of have a Elite versus Bullet Club kind of thing going on. Jay White's the man. I sent you that promo the other day. He's the man. He's going to win.
Yeah, I liked that promo. That was a lot. That they mentioned us.
Yes. He said unscripted violence. Okada's not going to be there. He has the birth of a child coming on and some other things. It's kind of like this pay-per-view has almost been snake bitten. Punk got hurt. Then you got to throw Moxley in there, and you got to do this.
It seems like it could have been better. Like if all these injuries didn't happen, all these misfortunes didn't happen, but it did. And it's like they're trying to stack things up on top of each other to make it seem better than it is. I don't know.
Well, they kind of have to, because they've been snake bitten. Next year's will be better. Jay White's going over. Jay White's a stud, and I just hope we see more of him on AEW. Like I said before, with Hangman, it's better seeing him chase than being the champion. So we're going to see him chase Jay White. Him and Jay White have had some great matches. Him and Adam Cole have had some great matches. It'll be a great three-way. It's just, do I want it right now? Not really. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And then we had, we had the AEW World Tag Team Championship ladder match, which should have included the Hardys, but with all that went on, of course it's not going to. It turns out to be Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks. I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't too overwhelmed with the match at the same time.
It was a fine match. The Hardys were supposed to go over in this match, but we know what happened with Jeff. It was time to take the titles off Jurassic Express. You put the belts on the Young Bucks again. Okay. Christian did the heel turn at the end. He's going to speak on Dynamite this week, but I wish Christian would have done the heel turn during the match instead of after the match. But,
yeah, because it should have seemed like that Christian did the heel turn and then the Young Bucks won, which right. would have made it much more, it would have made it make a lot more sense. But he didn't do it until after they won, and that confused me.
That's the thing. Why? Why after the match? Like you said earlier when we talked via message, is it because he beat him in the Battle Royal? Is it because he keeps losing? Yeah. Was it just something to make the Young Bucks the first two-time tag champs? Didn't like it. The match was okay. It was a good ladder match, but the heel turn afterwards kind of spoiled it because it was like, why? And we're going to get more on Dynamite this week, but it was just confusing.
It didn't make me care about his heel turn too much. Right. We were all expecting that.
Yeah. It kind of sucked. Yeah.
It kind of did. I don't know. It was a good match, like you said, and I mean, fucking Jungle Boy looked like a stud during this whole match, really.
I think, and even though I don't like how the Christian heel turn happened, he's gonna make Jungle Boy a big star with their matches, and that's gonna be cool, but I just think we could have went about it a different way.
What's going to happen with Luchasaurus? Because he kind of gets put on the whole back burner.
I kind of hope we get rid of the whole Luchasaurus thing. Because it's really gimmicky and it's really bad.
I never did.
Yeah, it's really bad.
So, I was like, okay, so he's a dinosaur from 23 million, you know, however many million years ago. And that's his whole gimmick. And
but here's the thing.
He's a great wrestler.
But here's the thing. You have so many giants already. Where does he go? Is he better than Wardlow? No. Is he better than Lance? No. Is he better than, I don't know, who? No. So, I hope maybe he's a bodyguard for Christian during his feud. That'll work. But then what happens to him after that?
Jeez. I don't know.
Because he was in WWE developmental. People don't realize that. And WWE kicked him to the curb. So, like, where is his...
As Luchasaurus, or was it as another character?
It was just as himself. He was in NXT before AEW happened. They released him, part of the budget cuts. AEW took him, made him this character. He's over as that character, but there's not a lot of legs to it. So what is he going to do afterwards?
I can't see him doing anything outside of tag team. So, wrestling.
Yeah, where does he go? Then that's the problem. Like, I love AEW, but where are we going?
I don't know. I guess this week we got a big question mark above everything with the decisions that they're making.
I really hope, and here's the thing on Twitter and everywhere else, people are like, let's get Forbidden Door over with. And then hopefully there's a reset, and we kind of go from there, but I don't know. We're kind of in the middle right now, and it's really weird.
It is. I don't get where TK is going with everything. I want to trust in him because he hasn't let us down in the past. But you've got injuries happening. You've got a lot of sudden changes. And is he trying to adapt to that, or is he just trying to throw whatever whatever he can into the mix and see if it works.
It's so weird. I'm ready for Vendor. I'm ready to see what happens, and then I'm ready to see what happens after that, because we got to go somewhere else. We can't have Luchasaurus no more. It's done. The gimmick's over. Let's repackage him. Put him with Christian. Good. We got a good rivalry going on there. And then we'll see where we go. But this match, or this Dynamite, kind of left me wondering, where are we?
It kind of did me too. I wanted to be able to say, oh, you know, this was best Dynamite I've seen in a while, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, they're trying to get For Vendor over, which I get, but they already got a $1 million gate. They've already sold out. They're trying to get the buys, but after the matches, like, what's going to happen?
Who knows?
I don't know. I hope we reset. I hope we reset. We'll see from there. I hope... My phone. Jesus Christ.
It's all right.
No, it pisses me off. But where are we going from here? That's the thing. Like, I don't know. Is Tanahashi going to beat Moxley? Is Moxley going to beat Tanahashi? How long is Punk going to be out? How long are we going to go with this? Are we going to have another 5-month run of the Young Bucks being the tag team titles? When's Kenny Omega coming back? There's so many questions.
I think Omega is a big key to everything. I think we need him now more than ever.
Well, they said they're not bringing the trio titles back until Kenny comes back.
Yeah, until he's back in the fold.
Okay, and so does he go to the trios title scene? And then where?
I don't want to see him there. I want to see him in the singles title myself. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I hope Tony has it figured out, but I'm a little scared, bro.
I am, for the fact that, I don't know, AEW let me down this week. I was hoping for something big. I really was.
What rating do you give it?
I give it a 3.5.
Better than me. I give it like a 2.5.
Wow. Well, yeah, I could see that too.
I mean,
see, it makes me want to change my ranking because I'm thinking I'm being a bit too generous.
Well, here's the thing. Like, my wrestler of the night would be Dax Harwood, and he lost, but he was so good. He's had so many good matches. But like, after him and Ospreay fought, it was kind of down after that.
My wrestler of the night was Toni Storm. She had the best match.
Hey, you know I love Toni Storm, so I won't disagree there, but it's...
But the out of the others, it's like, what are you picking, sort through? I don't know.
Here's the thing. What's going to get people to watch? And when you have Punk out, Davison out, Omega out, they got to come up with some stuff. And I hope after Forbidden Door we see some stuff. But I got a feeling this Dynamite, this one, tomorrow night's going to be amazing. But I don't know. We're in a weird spot.
It is. It's a deciding time for them. I don't know if...
You think this is a make it or break it pay-per-view for them?
I was never expecting it to be that big in the first place.
Really?
I really, well, kind of, see, that's weird. Because back in, what year was it when we had... another Forbidden Door type, where it was at the Madison Square Garden.
That was ROH.
Oh, okay, so it was ROH.
But look what it is.
The same type of feel, the same type of atmosphere, if you will. Well, here's the thing.
Like, it's already got $1 million plus gate. They've already sold 15,000 tickets.
Right.
Do you keep going on this storyline, or do you just scrap it afterwards and be like, we're going to AEW? That's where I'm confused at.
It's got to be one or the other, doesn't it?
Well, you got to think it does, but like, if you want to make this a yearly thing, and that's what Tony Khan said he wants to do, do you keep it? Here's the thing. WWE is going to do what it does, and it's going to get the people that it gets, and it's always going to get those people. We got to make new fans. And how do you make new fans? What is it? Is it wrestling? Is it storyline? Is it... what is it? Because sooner or later, AEW has to do better than what they're doing in the ratings. Right now, Discovery's happy. They're number one. Like, this week, they tied for number one.
Right.
They only did, like, 750,000 when they usually do, like, 900 to a million. And there was no sports playoff. So, I know cable was down throughout the whole thing, but sooner or later, you got to keep bringing in a million viewers, I think, and you got to keep growing. What do we need to do to keep it growing?
Well, this isn't it. This isn't it for me.
Well, if people aren't watching now, what's going to make the casual fan watch? What is it?
Jeez, I can only hope for CM Punk to return sooner.
Yeah, but Punk's going to bring back... but, like, it's almost like we need a McMahon-Austin feud, an NWO feud, but who out there in the wrestling world is going to bring that to AEW? Who would you put against Punk to make that happen? Is it Moxley? I don't know. Is it Omega? They're going to have a great match.
I don't know if it'd be Moxley, but Moxley would be a step in the right direction. I would certainly put Danielson above Moxley in that ranking.
But is
it going to drum up that excitement? I don't know.
Right. Is a great wrestling match going to make people watch? That's the problem. Like, if you tell me right now today, Punk, Danielson, WrestleMania 39, whatever the next main event, that's going to sell. Is it going to sell in AEW? That's the problem. And something big needs to happen in AEW. They're not going anywhere. They're going to sign a new contract deal. We're going to have them for the next 5, 6, 7 years. That's fine. But after that, what's going to happen? What's going to take it to the next level? How are you going to compete? What's going to be that it that makes it happen?
That's the big question. It's really hard to gauge right now with the amount of talent that we're lacking right now.
Well, that's the thing, though.
It's a tough question.
But we have the talent. That's the thing. Like, if you compare the rosters, AEW is so much better. But why aren't people watching? That's the thing. We got to figure out why aren't they watching, what's going to make them watch, and then we go from there.
I think it's the trouble with storyline.
Is it that they tell a storyline too long?
I don't think it's too long. I think that they just don't know when to pull the trigger on it quite enough.
Well, that's the thing. So, if I was Tony Khan, I would have made Daniel Bryan the champion before I would have made Hangman Page.
Yeah, definitely.
Imagine a Bryan Danielson versus CM Punk at Double or Nothing, or Hangman Page versus CM Punk at Double. Tell me what's going to sell better. Danielson and Punk. It just is.
Yeah. And we got both of those guys out on the sidelines. Right. So
we'll see.
What's going to happen now to carry that through.
Get us to this week, I promise.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping.
No, we will. We will. He's going to be there for tomorrow night. But that's all I got, bro.
Same here. God, we talked about it a lot.
I love every week we get to talk, and it's great. We keep growing the audience. Keep subscribing. Unscripted Violence. Let's go.
Yes, let's go. And definitely listen to Jason Blanc, or sorry, subscribe to Jason Blanc on what is it, on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm jayblun23, jayblun23@gmail.com, or Jason Wayne Blunt Sr. on Facebook. I will talk wrestling anytime, any day. Let's go.
Same here. You look me up. It's Stagger Lee, either on Facebook or on, it's Stagger Lee 777 on Twitter. And I don't have too many other platforms I'm savvy on right now, but you just talk wrestling with us. We love it.
We love it. Let's do it. Let's go.
Let's go. So that's it for this week. Next, I'm not going to even say a day because I haven't even taken notes on the GCW events coming up.
Have you watched the first one yet?
I've watched half of it.
Okay.
I've been kind of busy, so.
I watched the first one. I'm getting ready to watch the second one. But I have heard that Ospreay and Wayne are amazing. I got some notes on GCW. So, hopefully this weekend, maybe we'll be able to podcast again. Because anytime I get to talk with you, my friend, it's a good day.
Yes, it is. And, like, well, when it comes to pro wrestling, GCW does it like no other. I think they, this is just my opinion, but I think they have the biggest heart out of any company out there right now.
Yeah.
I don't think they quite have it as far as like the casual fan or anything like that, but me as a pro wrestling fan, they've never disappointed me.
We're going to agree to disagree. We'll talk about it when we talk about GCW. I don't want to ruin it yet, but
all right.
I got some hot takes on GCW. I will leave it at that. To be continued, but yeah, they're great, but also they do some stuff that kind of pisses me off.
That's just GCW for you. They're going to do that.
I'll go ahead and say it. They came out. I bought both matches this weekend. And they put out.
As did I.
Well, they put out a promo with Alicia Keys singing New York. And the video looks great. And then they cue to the ring. And it just looks fucking horseshit.
What is it? The audio on it has never been the best. Why don't they get better on the audio?
Audio and video.
The video too.
They produced a great video showing the last time they were at New York. Alicia Keys is singing. The picture looks great. You have Matt Cardona. You have Nick Gage. You have all these guys out there. And then as soon as that video's over, you go to the ring. There's four people who don't look like they should be in a wrestling match. And then the ring looks horrible. The lighting looks horrible. What the fuck?
I don't know. Their production is a lot to be desired.
And we'll talk about that more this week. But
LJ is such a great ring announcer. Why not have his microphone sound like a microphone? That's my number one gripe is why not have MLJ be featured So why have this like tinny sounding? Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
I don't get how you produce such a great opening and then go and cut to the ring and it looks garbage.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we talk about GCW. But bro, thank you. I appreciate it. Love you.
Thank you.
Better.
Thank you, and well, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to us.
Good night, Unscripted Violence. Let's go.
Yes.